I'm so honored to be your preacher this morning, and it's a double honor to have all my African friends with me. Are all of you from Cameroon? Yes. So, yes, welcome them. It's quite an honor to have you here, and thank you for the privilege of worshiping with you all here at Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. I want to say to the Hansen family that on Saturday, just a day or two before Fred was taken home to be with the Lord, I visited him and introduced myself to him, and what a delightful time we had. I was so impressed, and I'm not saying that because you're here and he's now gone from us, but I was so impressed by his strong faith. And we prayed together, and I know Pastor Bill knows what I mean when I say this. Some of you do as well. Some people you visit when you leave, they have uplifted you and blessed you much more than you have them. And I really felt that from Fred. When I walked out the door, I was so uplifted and so comforted to know that Fred knew where he was going and was in the hands of God. And I just wanted to share that with you. Would you pray with me as we begin the message this morning? Oh God, help me to tell it right. Help the people to hear it right, so that together we will live it right. In Christ's name, amen. We are all familiar with the real estate mantra, location, location, location. Well, when you read the Bible, there is a very important mantra that I want you to remember. I know many of you do know, but in case you don't, when you read the Bible, the mantra is context, context, context. The point being that the more you know about the passage you just read, the greater you will understand its message. And so I want you to hang in there with me for just a few minutes this morning, because I'm going to take this passage that Pastor Bill read for us from the prophecy of Isaiah, and I want to set it within its context. Because once we understand the context, then the promise that is given to them and to us is going to have a much more powerful impact and meaning upon our lives. So here we go. In the book of Isaiah, by that time in Israel's history, the 12 tribes have divided. 10 of them are in the northern section of the country, and they're known as Israel. Two tribes, are located in the southern section of the country, around Jerusalem, and they're called Judah. And that's why it can be confusing sometimes when you get into the prophets. They're talking about Israel, they're talking about Judah. It's the same group of people, but it's the different tribes. When we come to Isaiah chapter 9, where Pastor Bill read for us, Isaiah is a preacher to the southern tribes, to the two tribes that's located in Jerusalem. Not too long after Isaiah begins to preach, the northern kingdom is overtaken by the nation of Assyria and is totally destroyed. They're gone. There's only two tribes left. They're in the Jerusalem area. Everything is going to hinge on them. But there's a problem. Judah is in crisis. Judah is in crisis because they have repeatedly pushed God out of their national and individual lives. They have been living in rebellion and disobedience against the God they claim to love. And as a result, God has begun to feel far, far away from them. And as a result of their disobedience, Isaiah describes the culture that's taking place in Judah at this time and what's happening in the hearts and the lives of the people. And he uses some very powerful terms to describe where their sin and disobedience has brought them. Listen to the words that he uses. He uses distress. They are in distress. He uses the word darkness. They are living in darkness. And in fact, to emphasize that word, they even say thick darkness, or Isaiah says thick darkness. And then he uses the word gloom. It's a gloomy situation for the nation and for the people. And then he throws in one other word, anguish. The people are in anguish. The nation is in anguish. Now, those are terms that we would normally associate with psychological issues or deep mental health issues. We talk of people who are into distress. We talk about people who are in darkness and they're facing gloom and anguish. That's what's going on in Judah at this particular time, because you see, there was a great danger that was looming on the horizon, and that is Assyria, who had destroyed the 12 tribes, their relatives up north, was threatening to come down and to destroy them. And Judah's king, Ahaz, was playing footsies with Assyria, because Ahaz thought that the best way to pacify Assyria would be to strike a compromise with Assyria. And so already Ahaz had taken some of the pagan worship practices of Assyria and introduced it into the worship of the temple of God in Jerusalem. Now the danger is very serious, because Assyria was the number one power at this time. They had already destroyed the northern kingdoms. And if Assyria comes down and destroys Judah, then the Davidic kingdom is destroyed. And if the Davidic kingdom is destroyed, there can be no Messiah. It's serious. And so God speaks to them through the prophet Isaiah. And he says to the people of Judah, I'm going to hold you accountable for your sins. What you have done, you are facing the consequences of living in disobedience and rebellion against me. These words describe the kind of life that happens when we exclude God from our lives. We are in distress. We live in darkness. We live lives of gloom. We live lives of anguish. But then God says some good news. While you're going to face the consequences of your sin, the good news is, I want you to know, Judah, that I am in control, not Assyria. And because I am in control, and because I love you, and because I refuse to give up on you, I'm going to send you a deliverer. I'm going to send you a savior. And if you read Isaiah chapter 9, and I hope you'll do it sometime this week in light of our talking about it, you will notice that Isaiah the prophet speaks this prophecy as if it's already happened. Let me read it for you. He says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." They have seen a great light. "Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light shone." What hasn't happened yet? How could Isaiah be saying that to the people as he preaches to them? What we have here is what we call future perfect tense. Or another way of saying it, it's the prophetic future tense. Prophets would often speak as if the promises of God, which are being made, has already been completed, because if God promised, you can bank on it. If God promised, it's the same as happened. It may not have yet happened to them, but it's a done deal, and we're just now waiting on God to bring about its accomplishment. You know, when you stop and think about it, the situation that's spelled out for us here in Isaiah chapter 9 is pretty similar to which we find ourselves in the world today. It's really the gospel in miniature if you stop and think about it. What's the gospel in miniature? It's this. All of we, human beings, have sinned and rebelled against God. We have stuck him on the shelf, and we have said to him, "Don't call me. I'll call you if I need you." And we go about living our lives oblivious to his love and his grace and his mercy, doing our own thing, and we create chaos in our lives. And we experience distress, and we experience darkness, and we experience gloom, and we experience anguish as a nation and as a people, as individuals. But the good news is that while we have our sins that make its impact upon our lives, we have a God who loves us, who cares about us, and is going to act on our behalf, and in fact has acted on our behalf. He sent the one that was promised to the people of Judah. It's a baby in a manger. The baby in the manger grew up and became our Savior by dying on the cross and taking our sins, our just punishments that we deserved, upon himself, and rose again from the grave and stands as our Savior. The promised deliverer that Isaiah made to Judah is the baby in the manger. And the words that are used of this baby in the manger that's promised is no mere human being. In fact, the titles used and the phrases used about him makes us know that this is a divine person that's being talked about. Listen to it. "A child is born, a son is given." Here we go. "The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth forevermore. You hear the words that can only be accomplished by a divine intervention into the human chaos and crisis that sin created for Judah and sin has created for our world. And so what we have in the manger is the Wonderful Counselor. Where do you go when you're in need of some counsel? Where do you go when you are in need of some guidance and some direction for your life? People choose a lot of different avenues. But the baby in the manger, the Christ child who was given as a gift from God, is the wonderful counselor. Wonderful? Oh, yes. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His teachings are wonderful. His death upon the cross for your sins and mine was wonderful. His resurrection from the dead was wonderful. His ascension back into heaven to be seated upon the throne where he rules the universe is wonderful. And his promise that he will come again and consummate history and make all wrongs right is wonderful. He is wonderful. And he is the wonderful counselor. His wisdom is beyond explanation or even understanding. Listen to the way the psalmist speaks about the great counselor that came on Christmas. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Listen, my friends, run to Jesus, the Christmas gift that Isaiah promised and spoke about, because in him you will find the wisdom and the direction and the guidance that you need and I need to live our lives in the way that we were created to live our lives. He is God. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your deepest needs. He knows what you're going through today and what you will experience tomorrow. And he understands. And he loves and he cares for you. And he has the wisdom that is needed to heal your griefs and your sorrows and your deepest hurts and your struggles. Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. Trust him. Now, this counselor has provided us with some wonderful therapies that will bring healing into our lives if we'll only trust him. What are those therapies that God uses to guide us, to lead us, to heal us, to save us? Well, there's the scripture. That's why we pastors constantly say, read your Bible. In reading your Bible, you are connecting with the wisdom of God. You are connecting with the message that God wants to share with you. So if you want to know your way out of the dilemma that perhaps we find ourselves in from time to time as human beings, scripture is a great place to begin. What is God saying to you there? And so read it with an open heart and mind and say, oh God, help me to understand what you're saying to me. There's the therapy of prayer. What a rich gift prayer is for you and me. Prayer, the ability to sit down one-on-one with the creator of the universe and spill our guts before him. Just tell him what's on our heart. And he listens. And he understands. You know, sometimes when we're hurting, we just need somebody to listen. And God stands ready for you to just get alone with him and pour your heart out. He is the wonderful counselor. Then there's the wonderful therapy of what we call providence. What's providence? Providence are those circumstances and situations that life brings to us that if we will be sensitive, we will discover God uses them to get our attention and to speak to us and to lead us and to guide us. Some people have referred to divine providence as divine coincidences, because they do seem like a coincidence. And sometimes we walk away and say, isn't that a strange coincidence? If you experience something like that, pause and say, God, what were you trying to say to me in that divine coincidence I just experienced? The therapy of Scripture and prayer and providence. And on top of that, you have the Holy Spirit who has come to be your guide and lives in you. And it is the Holy Spirit that can help you want to have God's guidance and counseling and leadership. And not only that, it's the Holy Spirit who will help you know how to apply it to your life. God is saying, I should do this. How do I do it? It's the Holy Spirit who will begin to unpack that for you. It's really quite a wonderful thing. And you have the Holy Spirit. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is right there beside you and will lead you and guide you. There's one other great therapy tool that God uses as the great counselor, and that's the church. Our covenant partners, our brothers and sisters in Christ. How many times have you been blessed, encouraged, upheld, strengthened through the pat of the back, an arm around your shoulder, and a word of encouragement from one of your brothers and sisters? How many times have you come to church downcast, gloomy, in darkness, distressed, and the hymns and the prayers and the reading of Scripture and hopefully a sermon or two leaves you walking out the door uplifted, refreshed, encouraged? The church. This is our wonderful counselor. So what do you need to do? Friends, this is what America needs to do, and this is what you and I need to do. Number one, we need to admit the areas of our life that is out of control. Those things that, because of our leaving God out of the picture, has led us down a dead-end street. And there we are facing the wall and not knowing what to do. Admit it. Oh God, here's an area in my life where I'm out of control. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And there's no buttons to push that will give me some options. Admit it. Secondly, ask. Once you admit, then say, oh God, step into this dead-end street with me. Step into this area of pain and struggle that I created. I admit, I caused it. But step into that and take over and show me the way out. Give me an exit. And then thirdly, accept what it is God wants to do for you in that situation. It may mean that you've got to change some things in your life. It may mean you've got to work on your attitude. It may mean you've got to change your behavior. It may mean a lot of drastic kinds of things. But once you've admitted, once you've asked, and it begins to dawn upon you where God's taking you, accept His leadership and follow in His steps. And the final thing will be, apply it to your life. And you will find that the healing of this wonderful counselor will flow into your life. The good news is Assyria did not win. The good news is the sin of Judah did not win. And I want you to know that the sin of the world and the sin of America and your sin and my sin is not going to win, because Christ has come and makes a difference. Let's trust Him today. Pray with me, please. Oh God, be our counselor. Be our guide. You know the areas of our life where we're hurting. You know the areas of our nation that is out of control. Father, there's a lot of hate going on in our country today. A lot of disrespectful things happening. And Father, we would ask that during this Christmas season, that the world's attention would be drawn to the baby in the manger, who is full of wisdom and grace and can lead and guide and direct us out of the chaos, if we'll let him. That's not only true for our nation, oh God, it's true for us as individuals. We too mess up. We too create chaos, all because we leave you out of our lives. But this morning, we want you to know, in fact, we're saying to you in prayer right now, step into our lives. Give wisdom, guidance, direction, healing, forgiveness, and peace. And send us on our way victorious and overcoming where we find ourselves. In Christ's holy name, amen. Amen.